In our scripture reading there in Hebrews chapter 11, we're told that the walls of Jericho fell flat. Joshua and the army and the Israelites were successful in that particular campaign. This morning we're going to talk about God's plan and God's purpose in allowing us to be successful in life. And we're glad that you're here for that study. We appreciate the visitors who are with us taking up some of the empty spots of our own brethren. We have a number of our own out and we miss them. We pray for their safe return. I appreciate the men filling in for me while I was gone. Rick and Phil and Jeff, I appreciate them doing that. And I apologize in advance for being gone one more week, but after that I think I'll be around for a while as far as I know. And I appreciate the men filling in for me while I'm gone. Appreciate the prayers on my behalf. Appreciate the prayers for Beckett. Some of you were following that as that went along this past week, and they're at home and they're doing fine, and I appreciate all of that as well. I was encouraged to see our young men waiting on the Lord's table. And Roger, I'm not talking about you. And Seth, I'm not talking about you. Colton and Luke and Ryson, that's an encouragement. And what those young men are doing is they're making a spiritual investment early on in life, and that's going to stay with them the rest of their life. It's going to help them to be committed and faithful later in life, and I'm encouraged by that. And I want all of our men and young men to be doing that very thing. So thank you. That was an encouragement. In addition to remembering the Lord's death, I was encouraged to see our young men serving. Turn with me this morning to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to look at God's rules for spiritual success. If I were to ask you this morning to raise your hand and say, do you want to be on the losing team? I don't think anybody would raise their hand. Do you want to be on the losing side? Do you want to be on the losing team? I don't think you would raise your hand. We all want to be on the winning side. We want to be on the successful side. There's a lot written today about success. There's a lot of self-help books and a lot of places that you can go, motivational speakers and so forth that encourage success, especially in the business world. And we all want to be successful. As young people, for example, we might want to be successful in our schooling. We want to get good grades and we want to go on to college and things like that. As parents, we want to be successful in our work and we want to have a job that is taking care of our needs. If we own a business or starting a business, we want to be successful in that. If we have stocks and bonds, we want to be successful in that. We hope the market is such that we're making money. Everybody wants success. Nobody wants to be losing. But there's also spiritual success. And like these young men waiting on the Lord's table and other young women and other things that we're doing here at the Warfield Boulevard congregation, we're working on another kind of success. And that is our spiritual success with God. A lot has been written about success, but what about spiritual success? We want to work on that today. We hold that as a premium. There's nothing wrong with good grades, and there's nothing wrong with having a good job. But we want to go to heaven, and that's what the most important thing is. And this morning, I want us to gain encouragement from some rules, if you will, from God. Success is not accidental. Success is not something, spiritual success, that you just bump into accidentally. We have to follow those things that God tells us to do. If we want a successful marriage, we have to follow those steps. Successful parenting and so forth. There are some steps. And I believe we all want that this morning. I believe God has written the manual on success. And part of that manual is mentioned in Joshua chapter 1. If you'll turn with me there, we're going to look at some statements that God makes to Joshua and how that he can be successful. In our scripture reading in Hebrews 11, where it says that Joshua went around the walls there and the Israelites encompassed the walls and the walls fell down, that's the end of a process. Here is a process that was fulfilled and followed, and down here at the end we find the walls falling down. But if we'll back up a few chapters, that was in Joshua 6, if we'll back up a few chapters to chapter 1, we'll see what that process is. God's plan for success. Joshua followed that, and he was successful in his life. And we will have that same thing in our lives if we will follow that plan. It's not in the world. You're not going to learn this plan at school. You're not going to learn this in the world. It's not going to be found among your worldly friends. It's found in God's manual that you hold in your hands this morning. I believe everybody here wants to follow that plan and that manual. And I hope that, like Joshua, as we're going to see at the end of the lesson, like he was wanting to go into that physical land of Canaan called the rest land, we can go into heaven, that rest that awaits us if we will follow the same plan that God has given. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. The first thing that we notice this morning in the text, that God gave Joshua a command. Notice in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1, "Now it came to pass after the death of Moses, that the servant of Jehovah, that Jehovah spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give thee, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, to you have I given it, as I spake unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your border." There is first a command. There is a directive. Arise, go over this Jordan. And when God gives us those things today, those commands and those directives, there has to be a plan put in place for the spiritual success of those commands. Whether it be in our marriage or raising our children or living the faithful Christian life, there are a number of commands laid down by Jesus in the New Testament that we need to be fulfilling, but we have to follow those steps of success in order to get there. The second thing that we find in the text is from verse 5, there's a promise. And God follows those commands up with promises. The Bible is not about just commands. Some people view the Bible that way, and we're studying in 1 John, and when we get over to chapter 5, His commands are not burdensome or grievous. God doesn't just simply weigh us down with things to do every day for no good whatsoever, but there's always a purpose for our good. It makes us a better person in life, and if we will fulfill those things, there's always a promise at the end. Look at verse 5. In the case of Joshua, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." We have that same type of promise in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. God will be with us. And then the promise of heaven, of course. So following up with the commands is always a promise of hope and encouragement to keep doing those things that we need to do. And then our lesson this morning in verses 6 through 9, Joshua is given an admonition, and it's in this admonition that we're going to find God's rules for success. Man doesn't care about these things. The world around us, some folks in Clarksville don't care about these kinds of things. But God does, and He knows what is going to help us be successful. And depending upon what version you have, the word success is actually used in this text. Let's look at what God says to Joshua, beginning in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt cause this people to inherit the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous to observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest have good success whether thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not affrighted, neither be thou dismayed. For Jehovah thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Here is the plan for success. And Joshua and others followed that plan. And it's no surprise then, a few chapters later, that we find the walls of Jericho falling down. And then later in the book, they completely do what God wants in the taking of the land, the dividing up of the land, and they're blessed by living in that land. This morning, I want us to look at God's rules for success in the church. Everyone wants success. We want a successful ball team. We want a winning ball team. There are other things in our life that we want to be on the winning side. How much more so in the Lord's church and in our service to God? All this other in the judgment day will not matter, but how we are living in God's sight is what matters. And I want us to be successful in that as we move forward from this day. What does God say? What is His plan? What are the precepts? What is laid down? First of all, come with me to verse 5. God says you need to be strong. Be thou strong. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Be strong and of good courage. And he repeats that again later in the text. Only be strong, verse 7. Be strong, verse 9. There were going to be physical battles that had to be fought in taking Canaan land. And in our lives today, there are spiritual battles that take spiritual strength. We cannot be spiritual weaklings. We cannot be spiritual pushovers. As parents, we have to be strong. As young Christians, we have to be strong. Joshua was to be strong and firm in character because there were going to be physical battles along the way. And in the Lord's church today, there are spiritual battles along the way with the devil. And we have to be strong. We just studied that this morning in our class in 1 John chapter 2, that you are strong and have overcome the evil one. If we're going to be successful, we're going to have to be strong. Don't be a spiritual pushover. Don't be a spiritual weakling. Don't get up each day and just let the devil bowl you over and just whatever he wants, you're just sort of an open book and an open door and just the floodgates come in and the world rules me. But be strong. Say no to those things that are improper. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, giving that admonition to the Corinthians there at the end, that you need to be strong. Act like men. We need to be strong in times of temptation. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Somebody says, well, you know, the devil made me do it and I just gave in a moment of weakness. But there was actually a moment there where we could have said no and we chose not to. We see so much today by way of addiction and immorality and other kinds of things. And people are just saying, well, I'm just giving in to this and my life is run by someone else and something else. When actually we could say no to these kinds of things. These are God's rules for success. Spiritual strength. We need to put on the whole armor of God. And just coming off this gospel meeting, a small faithful congregation in Benton, Illinois. And during the week, different brethren are telling me about how that they're losing their loved ones to the devil. And they're not attending and they're not faithful Christians anymore. Many are losing the battle, brethren. They're not putting on the whole armor of God each day that they get up to go to work or to go to school. God gives us the inward strength to combat the devil when we fight the good fight of the faith and when we war the good warfare. But we've got to put that on. John says that you are strong and you've overcome the evil one. We need to follow God's plan for success. And he says, be of good courage in these verses 5, 7, and 9. There's going to take some courage to go up to For example, Jericho. We're talking about a walled city. We're talking about a fortified city. This is a band of Israelites that have been coming through the wilderness. And here's a band of Israelites coming through the wilderness, and they come to a walled city. Your first thought is, there's no way we can do that. And when God gives them the plan to march around that and to blow the trumpets, if they'll do that, there's going to have to be some courage in having faith to do that. Because it looks insurmountable. It looks so big that we cannot take that. We have to have courage that what God tells us is good for us. It takes courage to be a parent today. It takes courage to live right today. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. We have to trust God's way and God's plan, and He always brings us through if we do His Word. We don't have a spirit of fearfulness, Paul says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Do we have the courage to stand up for what is right at school? Do we have the courage to stand up for what is right in our community and in pulpits? So then with good courage we say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What shall man do unto me? This is in the context of trusting God for our daily physical needs, and we're not going to have a love of money, but God will take care of us along the way, and He always does. The psalmist says, I have never seen the righteous begging bread. But do we have the courage to follow God's word? Do we have the courage to stand in the pulpit and teach truth when others are not wanting to do that? Do we have a courage as elders to shepherd the flock and guide them in the right kind of way when other elders are not doing that? And deacons serving and all of us working together. It takes courage to live and act right. It's easy just to go the way of the world. It's easy to fold our hands and just raise the white flag and say, well, I give up. God is giving us rules for success, but we have to follow them. Are we raising the white flag of surrender in our lives? Just inviting the devil to come in and say, well, have your way? Or are we standing firm? That song that we've sung, Dare to Stand Like Joshua, is a great sentiment, and we need to take it home with us. When he gets down to the end of the process, the walls fall down. And we're going to talk about that more at the end of the lesson, by faith, obedience. The walls fall down, but it started back here, following a plan of success leading up to that. It's no accident that those walls fell down. He followed God's rules for success. And we find not only with the matter of strength and courage, but also the matter of obedience. Only be strong and very courageous to observe, to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Obedience is not popular today. Obedience to God's word is not something that you hear a lot today. When Jesus sent his apostles out to go and baptize all nations, teaching them to observe all things, not some things, not most things, but all things that I command thee. And when we think of commandments, we think of the command to be baptized, and we think of the command to observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. But what about the commands involving getting along with our brethren? We've just studied in 1 John chapter 2, an old commandment I give thee, to love one another. What about that command? That's just as part of those things that God wants us to do as baptism and taking the Lord's Supper each first day of the week. Commandments dealing with our relationships one toward another in the local church. That's just as much a command as anything else. And it will make us successful as a local congregation, and will help each other to get to heaven. But there are commandments that involve our relationships one toward another. Joshua had to observe all that was given him in the Word of God. Obedience is not a bad thing. But notice carefully the text there in Joshua chapter 1, it's not just simply obedience, but look at the text carefully. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. We cannot deviate. There is a pattern. There is a plan in God's Word, and we can't exit off of the highway and start taking some other route. We have to follow God's Word as it is given to us. We must hold fast the pattern of sound words, 2 Timothy 1:13. We must hold the traditions which were given by the apostles, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. We cannot deviate from to the right hand or to the left. We can't add to the Word of God. We can't take away from the Word of God. We have to hold that straight course. Joshua was to obey, no more, no less, not adding to, not taking from the Word of God, not substituting something else. Is that our attitude? John tells us in 2 John 9 and 10 that we are not to go beyond the things that are written. What's interesting is that in some churches of Christ, they are actually doing that, and then they're trying to do that and say, this is... we're wanting to be successful. We're going to go beyond the doctrine of Christ and add instrumental music so that we can fill our building up. So they're wanting to be successful, number-wise at least, but they're doing the very thing that God said don't do to be successful. Success is not determined by numbers. Success is not determined by filling an auditorium. I would love for our auditorium to be full. And my plan is to work together with you, brethren, to fill this auditorium with folks here in Clarksville. But numbers alone do not determine success. But there are some in churches of Christ that are saying, well, in order to be successful, let's do something. But what they're doing is they're going outside the doctrine of Christ. There is no authority for instrumental music and female ministers and a host of other things. We cannot turn to the right hand or to the left if we want to be successful by God's rules of success. Now, by man's standard, yeah. By man's standard, you can fill a building. But we're interested in God's rules of success. And that means that we are not to deviate from the right to the right hand or to the left. And God says that you may have good success whithersoever thou goest. There are people today that put down the idea of just simply following the New Testament. They belittle that. They bemean that. They poke fun at that. But this is the very thing that God is telling Joshua. So it's not just about obedience, but it is a careful obedience to the authority of Scripture. And it's easy to deviate just a little bit. There was the Richland Hills Church of Christ in about 2006 in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that said, we're going to offer the Lord's Supper now on Saturday night. For those who aren't going to be here on Sunday, we're going to offer the Lord's Supper on Saturday night. I would say that that is just deviating a little bit. It's just one day. It's just a few hours. And so we're just going to go a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left. It's no big deal. Well, it is to God. And so some of these things may appear to be just slight deviations, you see. And yet we don't have authority for these kinds of things. Keep our eyes straight forward on the pattern of God's Word and not turn to the right or to the left. And hold on. There are those, brethren, who will do well at the beginning and they're faithful. And I look out and I see these young Christians and they're faithful right now. But you've got to hold on to it 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now. You've got to hold on to it. I think young people do well early on and they're doing well, but then later they just let it go. And so look at verse 8. Success, what are these steps? What are these rules? Well, you've got to hold on. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Joshua, you can't separate yourself from Mount Sinai, where the law was given. You can't say, well, you know, my ancestors, that was back there, you know, 40 years ago, and the law was given back then. That was for them. It was okay. But we're about to go into a new land, and it's a new time period, and we're progressive, and we've got to be forward-thinking and think about the future. That was 40 years ago, and so let's do something else. No, you've got to just hold on to that law that was given 40 years ago. Today, it's all about, well, be progressive. Let it go. Don't be tradition bound. Don't be the church of your parents or your grandparents. Well, if your parents or your grandparents happen to be in the Lord's church and living faithfully, then they were a part of something that goes all the way back to the day of Pentecost. We want to be a part of that, and we're to do the same. Hold fast the pattern of sound works. But you won't be progressive. You won't be 21st century. You won't be hip. You won't be up with the other churches of Christ. Well, that may be the case, but I'm going to be in line with God's Word. There are churches of Christ, I'm sure, in this community and in Middle Tennessee and the rest of Tennessee and the rest of the country and around the world who are described as churches of Christ, but they're clearly not holding to the pattern of sound words. And if holding to this pattern makes me old-fashioned, then I plead guilty. I'll tell you what, I'll just plead guilty to Jeremiah 6, 13 and following, holding fast to the old paths. I plead guilty to that. Well, that's old. Today it's, well, you don't want to be old and old-fashioned. You want to be progressive. Well, if being old is the old paths of Jeremiah 6, then I plead guilty. And I think that's what you want. That's what God wants to be successful. Hold on to that, brethren. And I want to see every young person here this morning, later in life, holding on to that old Jerusalem gospel. And then continual growth. You know, holding on to the old pattern and the pattern of sound words does not mean that we're stagnant. It doesn't mean that we're not growing. So we meditate on it day and night, and we learn more of it, and we apply it in our lives. And so the study of God's Word, thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, to observe to do according to what is written. What we get here at the building is good, brethren. What we get here on Sunday morning, 45 minutes, and what we get here Wednesday night for 45 minutes is great. But is that enough? We want to look at God's Word more than just on Sunday and Wednesdays. We want to meditate on it day and night. Keep a Bible nearby. God's Word is not just simply something to look at a couple of times a week, but to be my guide every day. Keep your Bible near. Meditate on it day and night. Think about those Scriptures. Have you ever thought about what meditating on God's Word will do for you throughout the day? Well, the psalmist says in Psalm 119, thy word I have laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, one thing it'll do is it'll keep you from sin. If you can recall a verse right before a temptation, it'll keep you from doing that. It'll also be an opportunity when you're about to talk with someone about a particular Bible matter. Oh, I got that verse right there. And I can either quote that or refer to that and teach them something about God's Word. We need to be thinking about these things. There's nothing wrong with other kinds of things in life, but I wonder sometimes, do we know more about the weather than we know about our Bible? Do we know more about sports statistics than we do about the Bible? Do we know more about Hollywood music and movies, and we can name different actresses and this and that, than our Bible? There's nothing wrong with those things per se, but sometimes I wonder if we know more about that than our own Bible. We want to develop a habit of thinking about God's Word day and night. And so the importance of Bible study on a regular basis. We want to add to our faith knowledge, 2 Peter 1:5. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. And one way we can do that is at home and here. With regard to public education, I don't think that as parents, I don't think we would be satisfied with our children going to school twice a week for 45 minutes. We would want them to have more of that. More math, more science, more history. But what about God's Word? We can develop things where at home we have a portion of God's Word and when we come here. And we will just simply grow more and more. And we'll get stronger and stronger. And we'll be that spiritual success that God wants. No fear. Paul said that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Look at verse 9. Be strong and of good courage. Be not affrighted. Do you remember back when the spies went into Canaan, Numbers chapter 13? We're like grasshoppers. They're giants. And there was a formidable foe there. We don't want to lessen that at all. It was big. But like John says, he that is with you is greater than he that is in the world. They had God on their side. But they had to be strong and not fearful. There are going to be things in your life, brethren, on your trek to your rest land, heaven, where you're going to have to be strong about some things. Don't be scared about people poking fun of you. Oh, you go to church on Wednesday night, or you do this, or you do that. Don't be scared by that. Joshua and the others were not to be afraid. God knew that they were entering into physical battles where you're going to have to muster some courage. And there are spiritual battles along the way. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. I love the Apostle Paul who fearlessly went into spiritual battles even when his life was threatened. And he encouraged others to do the same. While he's in prison, he's writing these prison epistles, and that most of the brethren in the Lord, being confident through my bonds, are more abundantly bold to speak the word of God without fear. And we drop on down to verse 27, the brethren there at Philippi, that you stand fast in one spirit, one soul, striving for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing affrighted by the adversaries, which is for them an evident token of perdition. They're going to be lost, but of your salvation. You don't be scared. Don't be scared by the comments that are made at work and school and other places. Don't be scared by the comments that are made by the liberal media and other sources where they try to put down Christianity and standing for the Bible. Don't be scared by those kinds of things. Hold your head high and with the Bible in your hand and serve the Lord. You're on the right side. There's going to be some battles that are going to be difficult. It might be a young person leaving the faith. It might be a spouse who has done something wrong. It might be members of the church who don't act right. It might be a gospel preacher who leaves the faith. It might be a number of things. But we can't use that to say, I'm scared, I just quit, I give up. There are going to be some battles that are hard. But Paul says, you will be saved through this. And in chapter 1 and verse 14, brethren saw how Paul acted, and it gave them confidence to act and speak the word of God without fear. We set an example for others. Brethren are looking to us. These young people are looking to us as adults for that courage to live right and act right in the local congregation. And it gives them confidence to do the same. Let us set that right example. Look at verse 9. No discouragement. You know, when you read the story of the Israelites coming through the wilderness, and even the story of Achan, when we get over to Joshua chapter 7, there's going to be some brethren who don't live right. You've got Korah and all of those who rebelled in Numbers 16. There's different kinds of murmuring and complaining. Sometimes brethren don't live right. You get over to Joshua chapter 7 and Achan had taken the devoted thing and he was hiding in his tent. He shouldn't have done that. But you don't get discouraged by things that don't go right. He had to keep going. Joshua, after the high of winning Jericho, went to a low of losing Ai. And well, I give up. No. The matter of Achan was taken care of, and they moved on. And the very next battle they won. There are things that happen among brethren and in the church that are discouraging. That's true. But Paul said, we will reap if we faint not. There are going to be people around us that disappoint us. People in the world, people in the church. But you keep pressing on to that next battle and you enter into your rest land. There may be naysayers. There may be complainers. There may be those who are divisive. There may be a number of things going on. But we stay positive in that we're going to reap if we faint not. Have you ever planted something and it's like, oh, I can't get this thing to grow. And you work at it. You water it and de-weed it and put Roundup around it and then fertilize it. And you're like, am I going to get any fruit on this thing? Roger's probably experienced that in his backyard. I would like to just show up and get the stuff off of his plants. But he's like, wait a minute. I had to do the work to get to that. Somebody gave me some homegrown tomatoes last week. Man, those were good. That homegrown tomato is so much better than the store-bought. But they had to work at that. Well, we got to get the bugs off. And then we got to water. There's going to be some things that take a lot of work. And there might even be some discouragement along the way. But you will reap if you faint not. You got to keep at it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes with regard to plants and then even spiritual fruit, it takes some work because there's going to be some discouragement along the way. Maybe some of the plants die. Maybe you have to... How many times have you ever replanted something? Somebody was saying that they had a drought up in southern Illinois, and I experienced it last week. Boy, it is dry up there. Farmers replanted corn and soybeans 3 times. I've heard of 2. I've never heard of 3. But it's now coming in. You got to keep at it. You can't just say, well, I quit. There is going to be some discouragement along the way. But we will reap if we faint not. That's the promise of God. And so as we close this morning, brethren, you know, there may be some around us who don't want these spiritual rules of success. Instead of being strong, they just want to be weak. Whatever the devil wants in my life, I'm going to let him have it. There are going to be people like that. And some don't want to be courageous. They'd rather be, you know, tuck and run, and it's easier just to quit and be cowardly. And there are going to be those that, instead of being obedient, they're going to be rebellious. I don't want to follow the pattern of sound words. I want to be that hip, new, 21st century, progressive Church of Christ. The Scripture calls that flat-out rebellion. What they call progressiveness, God's Word calls rebellion. There are going to be people around us that don't want these rules of success. But I think that you do, and I know you do. Some, having grown tired of this conflict, they advocate a kinder, gentler approach. I'm tired of the spiritual battles. Let's not fight denominationalism anymore. Let's not fight moral issues anymore. Sins and attitude weaknesses and immorality in the church. Let's not let's just have a kinder, gentler approach. All that is someone who doesn't want to battle anymore. Some are no longer willing to confront error from within or without. Some have laid down their weapons. They seek peace with the world around them. Because the battle is too hard, they say. No, it's not. We can be successful. Please don't raise the white flag of your life and your spiritual battle and just give yourself over to the world. Please don't do that. We can be successful if we will follow God's rules of success. So, in our scripture reading of Hebrews 11:30,
by faith, the walls of Jericho fell flat. That's right. God gave them that city, but they had to obey by faith. We're always saved by grace through faith. God's part plus man's part, that has always been the case all the way down through the Bible. Why was he successful? Why do we read in the book of Joshua, Joshua 22, Joshua 23, that God gave all the land like He had promised, and they had conquered the land, they had divided up the land, now they're living in the land. Why, at the end of the book, are all of these statements of success? Because Joshua and others followed God's rules. It wasn't by accident. When they followed those rules, they were successful. Let us do the same. And here's the point. As we close this morning, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. There awaits us a rest, a heavenly rest. In Canaan was a type of the coming rest that we can have in heaven. Canaan land, that rest land, was not meant by God to be the end of all ends. It was simply meant to be a stop along the way. Look at Hebrews 4:8. For if Joshua had given them rest, if this is all there is to God's plan, He would not have spoken afterward of another day. Therefore, and that's David in verse 7, today, there is another day. Therefore, there remaineth a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest hath himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Just as God rested at the end of that 7-day work week of the creation, we can have rest in heaven. And that's how it's described in Revelation 14:13, that those who die in the Lord will rest from their labors. But we have to give diligence to enter into that rest, and we have to follow God's rules for success. We have to have continual growth in study of God's Word. We have to hold on and not let it depart out of our mouth. We cannot turn to the right hand or to the left. We have to observe. We have to have courage. We have to have strength. And when we do those things, while others around us are giving up, we will enter into that rest one day, and it will make it all worth it. We will be able to be in heaven and look back and realize that there were many struggles and trials and difficult things along the way. But we will see that we followed God's plan and we made it all the way to the end. Success is not accidental. Success is not just something that is coincidental. It's when we follow the deliberate plan of God. And this morning, you may need to begin that obedience by stepping forward and repenting of your sins and being baptized into Christ. You may need to come back as an erring child of God. When we don't follow these things, it won't be success. It will be loss. And we certainly don't want that in our lives. And if we work together as brethren at Warfield Boulevard, this congregation and this community will be successful because we're doing what God wants us to do. And that's my encouragement this morning. There may be someone this morning that needs to begin that journey of spiritual success. We would encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.